nice of you to come to Lake.
It's a great pleasure for me, madame, to be here. What was that you were playing?
I have played the third movement of the Bach concerto in D major.
It is surprising to find you, your harpsichord and Bach here in New England.
It is wonderful.
You find in this Connecticut hillside,
yes,
that you have the peace and the security that you,
yes,
need?
Yes, and I like to make walks. I walk through the roads. I go and I see this marvelous landscape, and I'm inspired. I come back. I come back to my harpsichord, and then I go again to see the mountains and the lake and lake. And so this is true, absolutely true.
Do you like living in the United States?
Of course, I wouldn't be here if I wouldn't like it. I love. It's very strange. You have a sensitiveness to the music and to human being. A very beautiful sensitiveness. It's, how do you say sensitiveness? La sensibilité, how do you say it?
Sensitivity. Madame Landowska, do you think Americans care enough about art?
Of course, and music too. And musicians, they are flourishing. Sometimes you see how fat they are, how thick they are, how happy they are here. Now, may I introduce, perhaps, or everybody does not, perhaps, the harpsichord, may I introduce to you my very dear friend and companion and my baby, my everything. Whatever I love in my life, it is my harpsichord. This is my harpsichord. Look at it and listen, please.
It's a magnificent instrument.
It is a beautiful instrument. It has a very long and dramatic story, but this will be explained another time, not today.
What gives it that wonderful sound?
You know, it is understandable that I had to fight for this instrument because it is so different from the piano. It is so different. The piano is struck. The string is struck. Here the string is plucked. And you see how sensitive it is. I cannot even touch my elbow. Immediately it's responsive. Now be quiet, please, and listen to your mistress, please. We have here two keyboards. We have seven pedals. We have one string at the upper keyboard. This. One string. And three other strings at the lower keyboard. And they are, as I say, marvelously organized, because we don't need to use them at once, all three, you see. Sometimes we take one, sometimes we take another one, and sometimes we take the third one. And if you are in very high spirit, we take them all together, then this is marvelous. May I explain you how it works? Perhaps you would like it. You see, this is the small jack which plugs the string. And this is a small piece of wood, and here is a tongue, and the string is under this tongue, of course. This is the philosophy of my harpsichord.
When did you first get the idea of playing the harpsichord?
Oh, you know, it was rather almost in my childhood, because I was aware that the modern piano was not the instrument of Bach and his contemporary. I will show you a picture of mine when I was child, will you? When I was a child of four, see.
When did you first start taking piano lessons?
Oh, I was very, very a small girl. I was about 3 years old.
Did your parents suspect that you were destined to become a concert musician?
Yes, but they were afraid of exhibit me. They didn't like this idea. They were very, very intelligent, very. And didn't like the idea to make a prodigy child, no. They preferred me to study very seriously.
Well, I suppose in Poland, everyone studied your most famous composer.
Of course, Chopin, but I was, since my childhood, in love with Bach. This was, in this time, it means 70 years ago, this was something unusual.
It's also unusual to have become a famous pianist and then not be satisfied. Was there a particular reason?
This idea of to find the instrument, Bach's instrument, Bach's true instrument, was an obsession in my life. And you will never expect how I found it. I felt in love with an ethnograph, with a very, very interesting man who became my husband. And then I ran away from my pension, pension de famille, from Berlin to Paris. And we were very, very poor. We had nothing to eat, but we had enough to dream. And so we went to museums, we went to libraries, and he, who was an ethnograph, you know, folklore?
Yes.
Researcher. He helped me to find the truth in Bach's instrument. And I did find, but it was not enough, you know. The instruments in museums, did I pronounce it in the right?
Museums.
Museums. The instruments were mute. They were beautiful to look on, but they didn't sound anymore. Because the strings were broken, and nobody had played them since.
For many years.
For, I would say, for 100 years.
They were considered to be just museum curiosities.
Museum curiosities. So I had to reconstruct.
Reconstruct?
Reconstruct a harpsichord who was the instrument of my dream. And I was fortunate enough to do it. Not alone, but in a in Paris, I found people who were constructor of piano, and they have helped me. And finally, I had the harpsichord of my dream. And you cannot imagine how happy I was. The harpsichord, they said, it is only a small instrument for elegant, coquettish pieces, a gavotte or a menuet, and with white wings and so. But I discovered, little by little, that the harpsichord is a marvelous, deep, like organ instrument. It was in 1912, the first harpsichord was finished.
Did you then start on a concert tour with
harpsichord? Yes, of course. I went everywhere with my harpsichord. And not everywhere, not everywhere immediately delighted.
Hadn't they learned to like the music of Bach?
Yes, but not the harpsichord.
And why?
Why? Because it is very understandable. You know, the sound first of the harpsichord, it's a two different one. It differs too much from the piano. And mostly pianists were against the harpsichord, probably against me too, because my harpsichord and I, we are only one. Now, they were against because the idea of interpretation and the sound was so different from the piano that they were enemy immediately. And imagine how hard I had to fight with them.
Did they feel that this was challenging their position?
Naturally, and they were angry with me and with the harpsichord, but little by little they had to change because I have now very much energy, but at this time I had much more. Can you imagine? It was rather dangerous even.
To have that much energy?
Yeah, to fight with me. I was aggressive, I was terrible because it was my child, my harpsichord. Now, little by little they became accustomed. It took me over 30 years to fight. Can you imagine
that? It has been an uphill struggle all the way.
Yes. Now, there are so many harpsichordists, what they call are harpsichordists. Everywhere you can find a harpsichord player. They sprout like mushrooms. Everywhere you can find them. But, you know, they didn't even know how hard was the struggle. They didn't even suspect. And now everything is ready. The victory is won, the table is laid, and they have only to sit down and to play. Badly perhaps, but anyway, they play.
Well, in the beginning, Madame Landowska,
yes.
Was it simpler in certain countries to receive acceptance?
Yes, it was simpler in the countries where the country instrument, I mean the instrument,
native instrument?
Native instrument was plucked, because here we touch on a very important question.
Where the sound of these instruments resembled that of the harpsichord.
Yes.
They were more familiar with that type
of
sound.
They were more, for instance, let's say the guitar, the balalaika in Russia, and lute. Lute was no more. No. It was no more played. But guitar.
Were there any interesting people or series of events in Russia that remain in your memory?
Of course, Tolstoy first. First of all, Tolstoy. He was old. He was about 80. Not entirely.
Did he attend your concerts?
No, because he was secluded in his Yasnaya Polana, you know, in this country.
Oh, yes.
But the countess, who was a very good musician, she attended almost all my concerts, because I must, without any stupid modesty, say that I was really the most popular instrumentalist at this time. So one day, one evening, after a concert, the countess came to me backstage, and she said very many very sweet things, and then she said, what a pity that my poor husband cannot attend this concert. He cannot move, he cannot come to Moscow. And I said, if he cannot come to Moscow, I will go to him. Then I was immediately invited. Now, from Tula, it has to be two sleds were waiting for my husband and me, and we needed these two sleds because one was for my husband and me, and the other one for my harpsichord. And it was a very bad evening. It was a blizzard. But you know, blizzard in Russia, you cannot imagine what it was. Snow, very small snow, but perpetually. And of course, I didn't understand how bad it was. I didn't understand that it was dangerous. We went on, and suddenly the Muzhik driver stopped, and he said, we have to wait, because the blizzard is so bad that we cannot go on. We have to wait till the horses will find their way. Can you imagine this? I didn't understand. I was so impetuous, I was young, and I jumped from the sled in the snow, and I was still here in the snow. My nose, my big nose, has saved me the life. How interesting is this, when this Muzhik driver said, we have to wait till the horses find the real way. I tell you why it is so important. I found that I can apply it to very many occasions in my life. Because we have to wait. You should not push the doors. The doors, they open very easily from themselves. When I elaborate an interpretation of a prelude, of a fugue, I wait till it is ripe. Then the door tends, in good English.
The doors open by themselves.
By themselves. And this is the story. Now we arrive to Tolstoy, and everybody were worried, but now, little by little, they were happy to see my husband and me, and my harpsichord was unpacked, and I started to play. Every day I had to play the whole afternoon till very late in the evening. Tolstoy was the most musical human being I have ever met. Excuse me, because I know that you are musical, but you understand.
Oh, he had never heard Bach on
a
harpsichord.
No, he had Bach, but on the piano. He had never, he didn't know the harpsichord. Imagine this experience to discover for this great man a new old instrument and new old music. This was really more than marvelous, and I'll never forget it. Now, something is very interesting. He had a special love for old French dances, country, not country dances, but of dances. For instance, he loved very much one piece by an old composer from the beginning of 17th century, and it was the description of old people who were dancing in a fair, village fair. He loved it. I will play it for you.
Can very well understand how everyone could love this music.
Oh yes, he loved it. It was the ideal audience for me. I played the whole afternoon till midnight, and then he was so happy, and he wanted to explain to everybody that this music can be understood by everybody.
You would be very happy if all your audiences reacted in the same way.
Yes, but they are. Not in the Tolstoy way, but in another way. I love my audience. I am in love with my audience. I share without any. I don't need to make an effort. I share with them my joy. They know it. They know it very well. Don't ask me. I love to play. I love to play, and I find the music is the greatest happiness, and I am a privileged human being, because I have music in me. I was born for music.
Or would it have been easier to do what you have done for the harpsichord and for the music?
Yes.
If you had been a man?
I don't know. I don't really know. I think that a woman is able to do very many interesting things first, because she is gifted, she can be gifted. Then she can be inspired. And then after all, she is a woman. This is something that it is more.
Many people have said that you are a perfectionist.
Is oh, no, true? I hate this idea. I hate, because perfection is something very cold. A human being cannot be perfect. You're not perfect. It has to be, I don't know, the culture, the profound culture cannot be perfect.
Then have you succeeded in doing what you wanted to do?
It would be stupidly modest if I would say I am not successful, because I have obtained victory for my instrument and for my art and for the idea of my art. Of course I am successful. It doesn't mean that I am very delighted by myself, not at all. I think that I have very much to learn, and as long as I live, I am going to work very hard, more and more than ever. I hate the idea of perfection, as I said to you, and of practicing. But to work, to play with all your heart and what intensity, this is important. And of course you have to prepare your fingers to make them fit. I play as well as I can, as well, and I try to be as true as I can. I love my music because this is the most important thing, to love something in life, to love, to be in love for something. If I wouldn't be in love with my music, what could I do? Nothing. And this is the most important. People who have nothing in their inside, in their soul, they are poor. But a man or a woman who has a conviction that something is beautiful, that something is profound, it helps him to overcome his grief, his bad, very sad hours. And we have them plenty in our life.
Music which you've been talking about?
Yes, this gives relief in our grief, and this gives us a blessing feeling of happiness, even if we have sorrow and if we are very sad.
What was the selection?
This was the second movement of a Vivaldi concerto transcribed by Bach for harpsichord.
Do you think music like this could be written in the kind of world we live in?
Oh, how can I answer? How can you ask this question to a poor woman like me? It is true that people say very often, she is a legend, she is a marvel, she is aesthetic and everything. But after all, I am a very simple woman. I know my music, and I love my music. How can I answer? How can I answer? Help me. Help me.
Well, do you think that the world is worse off now than it was when you were a girl?
I tell you, I think of my poor experience that everyone who knows history, knows that everywhere in each moment the world was high and down. Is that not true?
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Sometimes worst, sometimes only bad. So I think that everybody who knows history cannot be despair. And then I have hope. I have faith. I am sure that humanity is a good, good humanity. They must be good because they are good. I have absolutely faith. And then, after all, how this world could be without hope if we have this music?